Okay, Alexander, let's revisit what's going on in the Mediterranean. And, well, it looks like France is stepping up. Macron is reinforcing Greece's position in the Mediterranean. He is taking Turkey head on. And he's doing what the European Union refuses to do. Angela Merkel is obviously scared to death to deal with Turkey and Erdogan, and that's because of the migrant issue, and Erdogan knows that Merkel is petrified of the fact that he may send migrants into Europe, so Angela Merkel prefers to just appease Erdogan, give him money, and have him go on his way. But it looks like Macron is not taking that line. It looks like he has Greece's back, obviously. He's doing it for France's own geopolitical interests, but nonetheless, they align with Greece. They align with Egypt. You know, I never thought I would see myself championing Emmanuel Macron, but there you have it. This is politics for you. This is geopolitics. Sometimes the people you don't particularly like too much, you end up being on the same side of things. But Alexander, take us into this story.
I would mirror that. I mean, I think in terms of internal French politics and his general conceptions for Europe, I could find myself completely on the wrong side of him. But sometimes Macron can do unusual things. He did this unusual deal with surprising deal with Boris Johnson last year, which opened the way for Brexit. If you think about it, I mean, that was this. It was the breakthrough moment in making Brexit possible. It was, and of course, he's tried to develop relations with Russia, which Merkel hasn't particularly liked. And he's said that, you know, NATO was a brain dead alliance, which again, Merkel didn't particularly like. And now, and this is perhaps the most unexpected of all, he is taking on the Turks. He's taking on Erdogan in the way that no other major power of any kind, East or West, has done up to now. Now, we did a program about this, which has come up very recently, but we've now got a situation where the French fleet is now operating in the Eastern Mediterranean. It is supporting the Greek Navy, patrolling and watching and monitoring this Turkish drilling vessel or research vessel. It, of course, has Turkish warships guarding it, which is an interesting fact in itself. And the other thing that's happened is that Macron has redeployed two French Rafale fighter aircraft to Crete, and they have just been buzzing this Turkish research vessel, which is, of course, a very, very strong step. Now, this has provoked a fierce reaction from Erdogan, who's spoken as if there was some kind of attack launched on the Turks and says that, you know, he's been repelled in some way, all the usual Erdogan imaginations, because clearly that buzzing isn't an attack. But nonetheless, it's a strong action by Macron. And what a contrast between Macron and Merkel on this issue. Here you have Macron moving French naval and air force assets to the Eastern Mediterranean, confronting Erdogan head on. And what do we get from Germany? We get statements from Merkel's spokesman saying that there should be direct talks between Athens and Ankara, between Turkey and Greece, between Mitsotakis and Erdogan, to try to de-escalate the situation. Now, de-escalate the situation at a time when there is this Turkish ship with its, you know, accompanied by all these Turkish military ships, you know, operating in this very aggressive way. If you start opening negotiations in this form, are direct talks, that is not de-escalation, that is appeasement. But that is what Merkel is pushing Greece towards. So you have France, the one big European power, taking one line, which is to confront Erdogan. And you have Germany, the other great European power, appeasing Erdogan, which is, you know, a completely different line. It shows, to my mind, that on these issues, as on so many others, there really is no united European position. You can't expect a united European position when the chips are down. It is the powers of Europe themselves, Germany and France, that make the decisions and make their own decisions in their interests. And this superstructure of the European Union simply gets in the way.
Yeah, Merkel looks extremely weak once again, weak and stupid.
Yeah.
And it doesn't surprise me that Macron is filling the void of leadership in Europe. However fake it may be or temporary,
yes,
he is stepping up. Yeah. And I think it's safe to say that Erdogan, the minute France gets involved in the Mediterranean, Alexander Erdogan is completely outmatched and outgunned. Okay. When you're talking about France, Greece, and Egypt, he can't. There's nothing he can do there.
Oh no! He can't take on France. I mean, France. The French military operates at a completely different level of technological and military competence to Turkey. I mean, remember, France is a nuclear power, but it has a potent air force, a potent navy. It's got nuclear submarines. It's got assets, military assets that Turkey can't remotely match. I mean, Turkey has a big military, but it can't take on France. I mean, that's absolutely out of the question. And France, in combination with Egypt and Greece, is, as you absolutely rightly say, is overwhelming.
Yeah. So, you have Merkel as the big economic power in Europe, but here is France as the big military power in Europe, and it is flexing its muscles. This is what Erdogan said. Alexander, you can comment on it. Erdogan, and I'm taking this from Ekathimerini, which is a Greek publication. Erdogan warns of high price, quote, if Turkish vessel attacked. We said that if you attack our Ordu-Grice, you will pay a high price. And they got their first answer today, Erdogan said in a speech in Ankara without giving details. The Ordu-Grice is the vessel that is looking for the energy resources. It's accompanied by other Turkish military vessels protecting it. So what do you make of Erdogan's comment, Alexander? I think I'm calling BS on it.
It is absolute BS. There's absolutely nothing there. I mean, he says, that they already got their answer. Well, what answer? I mean, his ships were buzzed by the French Air Force. And what has he actually done in response? Nothing. He can't do anything in response because, as we've just said, it is the French military, backed by Greece and Egypt, are overwhelmingly stronger than his own. I mean, he's talking absolute nonsense. And of course, he knows it. I think a lot of people in Turkey know it. Of course, the French know it. But that is Erdogan for you. For Erdogan, these dramatic statements, melodramatic statements, sometimes are the substitute for action. And we always need to understand that. Now, we'll see what he does now, because it realistically, it's checkmate. I mean, this is checkmate. He should pull back. He's always known up to now when to stop. He probes and challenges and comes up against resistance, and then he pulls back. That's what he did with, in Syria, that with Russians. Now he should do it in the Eastern Mediterranean with the French. But with a man as volatile and as unpredictable as Erdogan, you can never be completely sure. And of course, he's now got a very difficult economic situation in Turkey. On balance, I think he will pull back. And all this language about, we showed them, we've given them their answer. I mean, that seems to me like Erdogan talking BS to cover the fact that he's about to retreat.
All right. What if he does what he did to Russia and does shoot down one of those Rafales or does something along those lines, Alexander, then what happens? What are the chances? Because Mitsotakis actually made a statement today where he said there is too much activity, too much military activity going on in the Mediterranean, that an accident could happen. That was Mitsotakis. I'm paraphrasing what Mitsotakis said, but that was along the lines of his statement. What if Erdogan does what he did to Russia when he shot down that plane? What do you think the response would be from these collective powers?
We would be in an incredibly great crisis. I mean, can I just make a simple point? I mean, when he shot down a Russian plane, well, Russia is not a member of NATO. Turkey is a member of NATO. And France is a member of NATO, and Greece is a member of NATO. France, Greece, and Turkey are supposed to be military allies. If Erdogan goes down shooting down French aircraft, first of all, he will provoke a military response, and there will be great anger in France. I mean, Turkey isn't popular in France anyway, but there would be a very strong reaction, a strong popular reaction in France, and I think Macron would be obliged to counter that, and there would be an escalation. But on top of all of this, if such a thing were to happen, if two major NATO allies like France and Turkey were to be exchanging military blows, then it seems to me the whole structure of NATO in the Eastern Mediterranean would come into danger. And then the big question is, what would the US do? But I don't think it's going to come to that. I think, as I said, Erdogan knows that he must back down.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Alexander will monitor the situation. And we're recording this on Thursday night. So when this video goes up, hopefully nothing happens. And things do de-escalate. And Erdogan comes to his senses and pulls back. Macron, the strong man of Europe, showing off what it means to take action.
Well, indeed, I mean, shows leadership, and that will go down well in France, where he's obviously got major popularity issues. So, you know, politically, it's clever for him. I mean, it's politically clever at many levels, as you rightly say. He's filling the vacuum, the leadership vacuum that Merkel is vacating. Merkel will not be pleased, by the way, but that's what he's doing. So he's staking out his position as the effective leader of Europe. So he's playing a strong role there. He's playing a strong role in France, where he is, showing himself to be, for the first time, basically since de Gaulle, able to lead France to take a strong independent line, separate from the United States and the Germans. So that's going to go down well in France. And it's also, of course, going to do him power of good in the Eastern Mediterranean with important countries like Egypt and Greece. So I think it's a strong play. It's a very strong and very clever play. Macron has many things. I mean, he's got his, well, we've talked about Macron many times, and I don't take anything back that I've said about him. But in foreign policy, he shows flashes of insight and intelligence, which he never seems to show in his handling of domestic policy. It's a strange contrast.
Yeah. I'm wondering why he took this action. It's interesting to see him break from the rest of Europe.
Yeah.
Show some guts.
Well, indeed. Well, we went over some of the reasons, but, you know, let's be quite clear. François Hollande would not have done it. Nicolas Sarkozy would not have done it. I can't imagine Jacques Chirac having done it. Macron has done it. So, I mean, you know, there's that famous, slogan, the heraldic thing that the British SAS has, he who dares wins. Well, he's dared, and I think he's going to win.
Yeah, he took the risk, and I think he's going to come out ahead on this one. Yeah.
I think so, too. Oh, he's calculated it well. By the way, Erdogan, it's now clear, he made a very strong play a few weeks, months ago in Libya. He seemed to be doing very well there. But as is always the way with Erdogan's plays, they start strong and end badly. And this is how this is looking out.
Egypt checkmated him there as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Once again, Erdogan is coming out the loser in all of this.
So he's up against Egypt and Russia in Libya, and he's up against Greece, Egypt, and France in the Eastern Mediterranean. I mean, he needs to calm down. I mean,
he will run to Russia, and Russia will once again fold to him. That's his MO.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, agreed.
He'll run to Russia. He'll call Putin 20 times, and Putin will give in to him, as Putin always does. This is the weakness of Russian foreign policy, and this is where Erdogan plays his cards. He always plays his cards. He goes back to Russia, a little bit, you know, migrants and Merkel, and then he runs to Russia. And Russia always, always folds.
pulls his coals out of the fire. Well, we'll see what happens. We'll see what he does.
All right. We'll leave it there. We'll monitor this story. Alexander Mercurs, editor-in-chief of The Durand. Thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on that subscribe button. Smash that like. Share this video with everybody you know. I know that Twitter is putting up a warning saying that we're spam. We're a spammy type of site or something like that. You can still see our tweets if you just click continue. But just keep in mind that as we're getting close to the November elections, you're going to see them censoring not only our channel, but all kinds of channels that are pro-sovereign nation state, culture, identity, logic, reason. I mean, you know.
Which also gives Donald Trump a fair hearing, yeah. Which isn't what your Twitter likes. I mean, that's I think what it's really all about. At the end of the day, I mean, you know, we don't buy into some of the theories about Donald Trump that the Twitterati are keen on. So I suspect that's what it's all ultimately about. But there we are.
No theories. What theories? Trump 2020. Come on.
Not a Russian
absolutely.
Asset.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Trump 2020. All right. Anyway, I just wanted to say that. Just click the continue and you guys can skip right through that that message and see our tweet if you want. Of course, you can find us on Parler, on Minds, on Gab, on all kinds, on BitChute. We have a really good BitChute channel as well. So you can find us on all types of alt tech. And PayPal, Patreon, Subscribestar. Please donate to us. We are a small channel. And we are trying to report the news as best we can. So your donation really helps us out a lot. And go to the Durand shop, pick up some merchandise, magic mugs, magic hats. And real quick, Alexander, let me announce the winner of another free Patriot Beacon and the winner for July. And not only will they get a Patriot Beacon 3, but they will also get a USA Durand magic mug as well. And we're going to be running another contest in August, but the winner for July is Joel from Montana. Joel, you will be contacted by our friends at Patriotic Legacy. Exactly. That is exactly what Joel will get. You will be contacted by our friends at Patriotic Legacy, and they will get your details and information as to where to ship your prize. Congratulations, Joel in Montana. Alexander.
It's an absolute, and congratulations for getting a Patriot Beacon, the best flashlight in the world, the Swiss Army knife for flashlights. Just to remind everybody, it's got this incredibly powerful beam. You can dim it if you need to. You can flash it if you need to alert people to where you are. You've got an alarm that you can press. You've got a compass if you get lost. It's solar powered so that it doesn't fail you. It's got a port so you can recharge your iPad or phone or smartphone or laptop or whatever. You can use it as a tool. You can use it as a seatbelt cutter. You've got a magnet on the side that you can stick it on. And it is not just an amazing flashlight, the best flashlight in the world, but it is beautiful. It is magnificent. It is strong. It is the Swiss Army knife of flashlights. It is the best flashlight in the world. Made in the United States by our friends at Patriotic Legacy, ships around the world. And I'm delighted to hear that a viewer has managed to get himself one. So please come and join these competitions and get yourself one too. And of course, he's now also got one of our magic mugs with the flag of the United States, which you see there. By the way, this is my favorite at the moment. I'm drinking from it all the time. This is what I now drink my tea from. The best magic mugs anywhere. If you go to them, you will find lots of countries' flags on them. I think we have France. We were talking about France on this program. So you can find that there too. If you're looking for your flag of your own country and you can't find it, wait a little because it will probably come. But if it hasn't come in a little time, well, always drop us a line and we will be happy to accommodate you. And Alex is absolutely right. We come under lots of pressure from our friends at Twitter, from our friends at YouTube, from our friends all over. So we rely on you, our viewers, to help us so that we can continue providing you with the great analysis and reporting that we do on this channel. So support the Durand, come to our shop, buy the great things you will find there, and get yourself a Patriot Beacon from our friends at Patriotic Legacy.
You will find a link to the Patriotic Legacy website and the Patriot Beacon underneath this video. Use the code Duran20 to get a 20% discount on checkout. And also you will find a link to the Duran shop, the DuranShop.com. Alexander Merkurs, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.